We finished Ursa Minor last time.
Now, everyone listening will know about Alaska.
What?
The listening audience will know about Alaska, Utah, and Arkansas, and Mississippi.
No, they won't.
No, they won't. They were just turned on.
I just turned it on.
I don't care if they know about it. It's been made public recently, but not very public. Okay, let's go to cancer. Anybody know why it's named cancer?
Because they couldn't spell scarab.
No. It's such an ass.
I know.
Cancer.
Close, protected
area
inside the clause.
Wow, I've never seen people do that.
Well, I just looked up in the notes.
Yeah.
But he put the words in your mouth.
No, he didn't. All right. Cancer has three decans, as all of them do. The first decan is Ursa Minor, right in the center there with Polestar. The second decan is Ursa Major. And the third decan is Argo, the ship. Now, how either one of these came to be called a bear is just obscene. Because both of them were not, neither one of them were bears, they were sheepfolds. And so let's look, we studied Ursa Minor, and we saw that. The one part of Ursa Minor we didn't talk about. Everybody find Ursa Minor?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You see where it's the pole star?
In the tail.
In the tail.
Yeah.
Now, the point of it is, the question is, why does a sheepfold have this trail, and both of them, both the lesser and the greater sheepfold, have a pathway in and out, or into or out of the sheepfold? You see it? The tail. Now, the question is why? If you look at Ursa Minor, the tail is pointed towards Arugat, the shepherd with the goat in his the kid in his arms. And if you look toward Ursa Major, it's pointed toward Botes, which was the first decan of Virgo. So what's going on?
The sickle and the spear?
Yeah. What's going on with the tail? Let's go first to Deuteronomy 28. Everybody got a Bible? No, of course not. You have those stupid old machines.
Always.
You have one of those little stupid machines, too?
I do.
See how you are?
But if you have a Bible for me, I'll take it.
Well, you can do it. No, she can welcome to use the machine.
You can always...
See, he likes you better than me.
Sure. Yeah, just because all these prejudices.
Of course, I like everybody better than you.
Send them a text message. Huh?
Deuteronomy 4.
Yeah, that'll be good.
They'll never catch it.
I know.
Okay. Deuteronomy, all right.
28.
You remember, do any of you know about Mount Ebal?
Not me.
Well, Isaiah 20, look at 27, verse 11. And they were the curses at Mount Ebal.
Oh, okay, so those were the curses.
And then on the other hand, the side was the blessings. And that's what chapter 28 is about. And there, it's a different mountain. I can't remember what it's called right now. But they were in a valley, and they were looking, and he was giving them a choice between the blessings and the cursings. But let's just, we're going to look at the blessings for a minute. Let's start in verse 3. Blessed shall thou be in the city, and blessed shall thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. So the idea is, now, remember, blessed, forget everything you ever knew about the word blessed. It doesn't mean rich and prosperous and happy. It means not subject to fate. You understand what we've talked about that so many times?
I've never heard you say it.
Huh?
I've never heard you say that before like that.
Really?
No.
Well, that's what it means. There were three fates in the ancient mythology, and their job was to mess around with people. And so, there, in other words, there can be nothing that happens to you that's an accident or isn't from the from the hand of God. From the, not just the hand of God, it's from the proffered will of God. There's no such thing as the permissive will of God. The permissive will of God is what they invented to give man the illusion of free will. There's no free will. That's another lie. There's only two wills in the universe. The will of God, which is self for others, and the will of Satan, which is self for self. But even the will of Satan is the will of God. But the fates are what the ancients were all concerned about, because the fates, in fact, most of the gods in Mount Olympus and even the Roman gods, all they did was mess with the humans. Just to explain the vagaries of human life, they invented these characters that always messed with you. And so the word blessed, in its original intent, meant you weren't subject to the fates. It had nothing to do with being happy or glad or gleeful or rich or... But fundamentally, it's both in Hebrew, it's Barak, and in Greek, it's Makarios. And the root words for both mean not subject to the fates. All right? Now, but we're going to go now to Psalm 21. I'm going to talk. Keep your, well, you can't. With it. You guys have a machine. You can't stay in one, both two places.
So where now?
Psalm 21.
Psalm 21.
No, not Psalm 21. Psalm 121. I wrote it wrong down. I wrote it down wrong. This is the second of the Psalms of Ascent. Verse 7 and 8. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil, and he shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. Now, what do those two readings have in common? Can you remember what we just read in Deuteronomy?
Mm-hmm.
What do they have in common?
Going in and out.
Right, going in and out. Of what?
The sheepfold.
Of the sheepfold. There are many people that can't hear because they're young. Because what happens is they're in the sheepfold, and the kids that grew up here, a perfect example. What I teach is that every idea of man, every plan, every ambition is only empty and futile and worthless in God's eyes. But you can't know that until you've experienced it. And so, in order for the kids to experience it, they've grown up in the sheepfold, but they have to go out and push all the barriers, push all of everything, so that if I didn't know that they were blessed in their going in and blessed in their coming out, preserved in their going in and guarded in their going out, I could never teach that because it'd be too risky. You understand what that means? The whole of religion teaches you to raise teenagers by circumcision. You tell them what they can't do. I did the opposite. I told them, and go out and follow your nose, do everything you want, but do it fully, do it with everything in you. Why? Because the purpose of life, from a man's standpoint, is to come to the point where you can agree with the book of Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanity, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. The word vanity in the Hebrew doesn't mean you like to look in the mirror, it means empty, futile, without purpose. There's two ways that you can know vanity, or you can either know it by experience or by empathy. That's why a seder had to have at least 10, but no more than 20 people, a church. If they didn't, then we'd have to live as long as the early man did, 800-900 years, so because it would take you that long to find out the vanity of everything. But in a seder group, by empathy, you can experience, you can know the vanity of something because someone in the seder group has done it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
That's the whole purpose of the one of the purposes of the small group, the 10 to 20 people. First of all, it was started because it was the number of people that could eat the Passover lamb, and there would be nothing left over in the morning, and everyone would be fully sated. But you try to you're serving a Passover lamb in a church with 10,000 people, and nobody even gets a bite.
Serve a Passover elephant.
I wouldn't do it either. So, there's only one lamb to be served. But you understand this importance of going in and coming out, and that's what the tail is. It's a pathway to go in and out of the sheepfold.
The anatomical position has nothing to do with it, does it? But it's the end of the...
It never was a bear. Just forget the bear ever existed.
Bear or lamb, it's still a... It
wasn't a lamb. It's a sheepfold. It's an enclosure.
Gotcha.
With one gate. It's not an animal. It never was an animal until the Greeks invented this bear guy.
Okay.
All right, so that... Now let's look at some of the star names in Ursa Major. We all know that Ursa Major, or the Big Dipper, is the most recognized, other than Orion, it's the most recognized constellation in the heavens, right? So how you learn, everybody learns how to find the North Star. It's the cynosure, right? All eyes are drawn to it because it's the vehicle by which you navigate everything. It's the way explorers found their way across worlds, and oceans, and they navigated by the North Star. Now remember, there's a circle in the of the stars in that northern quadrant. It always hasn't been the North Star. And it goes, at one time, find Draco, the star Draconius there. Can everybody find Dracos?
Mm-hmm. It's right above the Ursa Major. Tail. Entrance.
In the circle.
Now, that at one time, thousands of years ago, was the North Star. And what happens is, there's a circle of stars that all of them aren't seen here. And it takes 25,600 and some years. That's the meaning of a universal day in our universe. In our constellation, it's the same thing. It's going around, but there's the universal day is, in the Milky Way, is 420 years. That's how long it takes everything to make a circle or a day. Do you understand what that means? And so this 25,000 plus circle is what's broken up into the 12 signs of the zodiac. And each sign is 2,000 plus years old, but on an average. So again, Christ was crucified. Well, Moses was called, not Moses, Abraham was called when it was the age of Taurus, when entering into the age of Aries, the Lamb. Christ was born and started his ministry when the age of Aries ended and the age of Pisces began. We are now in this sort of never-never land between the age of Pisces and the age of Aquarius. Except the age of Aquarius in ancient was the end of everything. That's when time ends. Remember when we studied that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So back to this, let's look at some of the star names. See if we can find the stars. No, there are 84 stars in Ursa Major. There's only 24 stars in the little one. We get all of them on here in the map. But both of them have this unique shape that looks like a dipper. Or it looks like a sheepfold with a path to it. Alright. See if you can find the star. Again, remember, let's go to Psalm 147. I got to show you one. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord hath builded up Jerusalem, he gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars, and he calleth them all by their names. In another place it says God is the one that named all the stars. Now if you look at all these various names, whether they be Hebrew or Chaldeic or Persian, you'll find all of the star names will tell you what the original meaning of the sign was if it's changed. Now watch here on the star names for Ursa Major. See if you can find Mizar in the tail. Everybody find Mizar?
In the middle of the tail.
It's called that's called the guarded or enclosed place. See in the back, the upper back, it's Dub Ha.
Yes.
That means the fur, the herd, or the flock. You see Al-Kor? You need one of those big maps to see this. Anyway, that means the lamb. Then in Merak, it means the flock purchased.
What was the second one?
D-U-B-H-E-H.
And that's what?
What? You don't have to write all these down.
What did the second one mean?
Well, I don't know which one I gave you as the second one.
Dupe,
the herd or the flock.
Okay.
And Al-Kor means the lamb. Merak means the flock purchased. Qabd al-Asad means the multitude of the assembled. Al-Kola means the sheepfold. Al-Qaid means the assembled. Al-Yoth means the ewe. Al-Kafra means the protected, the preserved, and the redeemed. It means all three. Duba Lakar means the latter herd or the flock. Feda means the guarded. Benet Naish means the daughters of the flock. Anyway, every one of the names of the stars, whatever sign we're going to look at, every one of the names of the stars tells us what the original sign was, not what somebody has made it into. Now, the Arabs call this sign, instead of sheepfolder, it's called al-Naish, which is the ordered or the assembled of their flock, in their flock. It means they're not just in the flock, they're in their order, or in their proper order. So let's go look at Job here a minute. Job 9. You know, Job's just before Psalms, if you have a Bible. You have one of those evil machines. It's, you know,
it's still just before Psalms.
Did I ever tell you I hate cell phones and computers?
Do the pages of your Bible stick together?
Huh? All right. Job 9. Then Job answered and said, I know it is so of truth, but how should a man be just with God? If he will contend with him, he cannot answer him one of a thousand. He is wise in heart and mighty in strength. Who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered? Which removeth the mountains and they know not, which overturneth them in his anger, which shaketh the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble, which commandeth the sun, and it riseth not, and sealeth up the stars, which alone spreadeth out the heavens, and treadeth upon the waves of the sea, which maketh Arcturus, Orion, and the Pleiades, and the chambers of the south. Now, Arcturus is the... the name of the great of this Big Dipper, or the greater sheepfold. It's another name. Okay, let's go to Job 38. Do you all know about Job?
Yes.
We talked about Job. Job was the oldest book in the Bible. It was written by, it's in Genesis 8, I think, it's Jobad is his name. It was written, not Jobad, but it was written by him, and then Moses, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote the first few first couple chapters and the last chapter to make it. He just couldn't write it after Job died. My Job couldn't write it. But it's the oldest book probably in history.
Is it the only book in which the word Maseroth, where Maseroth is used?
Yeah. But anyway, it talks about the stars and the names of the stars and the names of the constellations more than any other book of the Bible, by far. Remember, the names of the constellations and the figures that were given to the various grouping of stars was supposedly originated by Seth, passed on to Enoch, and passed on to Shem. And then Shem taught them to Abraham. And Abraham taught them to the Egyptians. And sons of Ham taught them to the Chinese. Every ancient culture had the same names, same pictures of the stars. That's impossible. They had no way to communicate with each other unless they had a common source. And remember the scriptures we've talked many times in Isaiah and Jeremiah, says the stars have stopped giving their light. Well, they have. They've stopped giving their light of revelation to the human race. It was only by accident that I found out. No, not just an accident, it was curiosity. I just started pulling. I didn't know anything about this, except when I saw the word Maseroth. I looked, I don't know, what does Maseroth mean? It means a circuit, the heavens. And slowly I started pulling teeth. It took a long time to figure it out. I still haven't figured it out.
How did Frances Ralston do this research?
She did it because a lot of the books that were now not extant, were extant then. she spent an entire lifetime. She was an expert in astronomy and in the meaning of the stars. I mean, the meaning of the signs of the zodiac. She was an expert in astronomy and an expert in the scriptures. She spoke like five languages of the ancient languages. All right. Now.
So we're at your 38?
Yeah. That's what I'm looking at. Shut up. Job 38. You thought I'd lost my place, didn't you?
I did.
Well, I might have. But I wouldn't tell you.
But I'll never know.
Good excuse to say shut up.
In verse 31, you remember what the Pleiades were?
I'm going to write down shut up.
Is that the belt of Orion?
No.
No.
They represent the seven churches, right?
Great set of stars.
Pleiades is a seven star.
Remember where the seventh, that grouping of stars? It's not a set of stars. It's
not a set, but it's mystical.
It's a humongous number of stars. Uncountable number.
It sparkles.
In Cancer, right?
Huh?
In Cancer.
Yeah. No.
No?
It's in Taurus.
Taurus.
Thank
you. Yep, there it is.
Yeah.
Right at his shoulder.
All right. Anyway, verse 31. Can thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Can thou bring forth Maseroth in his season, or can thou guide Arcturus with his sons or his offspring or his? Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Can thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? So again, we have Pleiades, Orion, the Maseroth, and the Big Dipper. All in that one, two verses. Now, the ancient Jews, the Arcturus, is this name just for the seven main stars of the Big Dipper, the four and the cup and the three and the tail. But that's where that Arcturus was, right there. But let's think about this, the whole meaning of the sheepfold. What does that mean to us? Why two? Why is there a lesser sheepfold and a greater sheepfold?
Good and evil.
Israel and the rest of us?
Well, not just Israel, but anybody in the ancient times who had seen the end, saw the mystery. You ought to read some of the writings of the ancients. It's like the Sibyls. Have you ever heard of the Sibyls? Sibyllian oracles. I mean, they could have been written out of the Bible. I mean, there were people that knew throughout all generations. And that's why I get this crap about, well, are you saved? Say not even, we haven't talked about that for a while. Romans 10, say not even in your heart who shall ascend into heaven, for that is to bring Christ down. And say not even in your heart who shall descend into the deep, for that is to bring Christ up, so you can be saved by your own works. But rather say this, the word is nigh, even in your heart. But everybody runs around, are you saved? And then go try to make people saved. Con people into accepting Jesus as their personal Savior, which is nowhere in the Bible. Altar calls. There was never an altar call in the ancient times. See, if we had altar calls, we might have more people.
God forbid.
I'm going to start the O.E. Anthony Evangelistic Association. Oh, no.
The O.A.
And get left out of the room.
All right, we're going to read some stuff about sheepfolds. Let's go to Jeremiah 31.
Jeremiah what? 30.
31.
31.
Verse 7. For thus saith the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations, publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coasts of the earth. With them the blind and the lame, and the woman with child, and her that traveleth with child together, a great company shall return there. They shall come with weeping and with supplication while I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel. Now, you know, Israel is just Ishrael. You know, you understand that? Ishrael. Three words. She who sees God. The true Ishrael is no longer... That Israel doesn't even exist anymore. The true Israel, it says, is one who is circumcision is of the heart, not of the flesh, and who no longer needs the praises of men. Romans 2:28. But the Israel has always been a parable of the church.
He just quoted a scripture, didn't he, Jim?
He did.
Romans 2:28. I say something?
I didn't say according to Romans 2:28.
Oh, so because you use the word, because I say, and I never say according either. But in the interest of continuance, you may continue.
Okay. But let me explain the slight difference. You have never heard me saying it out there talking to somebody. But in here teaching a Bible study when I expect you to look it up.
You know what this whole thing reminds me of? I got to say it. Playing the guy game of chess, he loses his queen, I take the queen. I didn't mean to move the queen. You didn't mean to move the queen, Holy. Go ahead.
They shall come weeping, especially Nick, in a minute. In supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, where they shall not stumble, for I am a father to Israel. Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O you nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattereth Israel will gather him, will keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the land of him that was a stranger, that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat and for wine and for oil and for young of the flock and of the herd. Their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy, and I will comfort them and make them rejoice from their sorrows. Etc., etc. Now, the whole idea of that, that's the meaning of a sheepfold. Now, a sheepfold in the ancient lands, it was a rocked and guarded place where the wolves and the coyotes couldn't get in. And the shepherd stood at the door of the sheepfold to make sure he slept at the door, to make sure nothing could get at the sheep. And so it was a protected place where there was water and food. That's why the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Where I screw up, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I'm walking, I'm going out of sheepfold through the land of the sorrow of death. All fear and no evil, the land of the sorrow of death. All of time and space, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Amen?
Amen.
It's not a psalm that should be read at funerals, except spiritually at funeral.
Amen.
All right, go to Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel 34. Verse 11. Now, if you read the first part of 34, it's really bad because what the shepherds did. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among the sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. Will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. And I will feed them in a good pasture and upon high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in good fold, and a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. And I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong, and I will feed them with judgment. As for you, my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between rams and he-goats. Seemeth it a small thing to you that you have eaten up the good pasture, but you must tread down with your feet the residue of your own pastures, and to have drunk of the deep waters, but must foul the residue with your feet. Anyway, the whole, if you want to read, get mad at the religion of today, read the whole of the first part of chapter 34. But why am I supposed to do it right now? The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, verse 1. Now verse 2. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the fat shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat, and you clothe you with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick. Neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you bought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought them that was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. They were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered off throughout all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered all the face of the earth, and none did search or look after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely, because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock. But the shepherds fed themselves, and not my flock.
Got two more verses to read to kind of add something to it.
Well, we just read those.
No, we started at 11.
No, we started at
11. We started at 9.
Nope.
No.
Started at 11.
Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds. I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them.
Very heavy.
Amen.
Yeah. Benny Hinn can read that and not quiver is beyond me.
Yeah.
That covers both of the sheepfolds. Next we study Argo, where we get Jason and the Argonauts from, but where we get the ship of the dead that leads the, you know, the Egyptian culture.
That's for next week.
New York City, every Greek diner is called Argo Diner, just like 1,000 of them. I lived across the street on the Upper West Side from an Argo Diner, 24 hours a day. Everything was Argo, 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 Argo. That's their big chip.
What is special about Arcturus? It's a star. in the constellation Lucius, or Lotus, or whatever.
No, it's the name, the Hebrew name of the great, of the, it's also the Hebrew name.
Oh, okay.
For the big difference.
Okay, so it's an accident that we have a star by the same name, instead of having a constellation by the name.
I just looked it up.